myself. I needed to learn how to love myself before loving somebody else. He still called me and left voicemails all the time. The text messages were endless. All went unanswered. I started to delete them without hearing or reading a single message. My therapist asked me why I wouldn't change my phone number and put an end to the problem. Out of sight, out of mind. I had yet to give her an honest answer to that question. Deep down, I knew I couldn't let go. He had a hold on my soul. Something made me answer that particular call tonight. It hit me like a ton of fucking bricks. I finally realized that all I'd been doing was waiting. Knowing that eventually I would answer the phone, I would pick up his call, and he would be on the other end. Dying. Briggs, Dylan called out, making me look up from my chair. I stood, swallowing hard as everyone came barreling in through the automatic emergency room doors. The boys, Alex, Lily, and Aubrey came toward me while his parents went straight to the nurse's station. Is it true? Lucas snapped a few feet away from me. Alex instantly caught his arm, holding him back. I'm sorry, I nervously breathed out. You're sorry? That's your fucking response? Jacob argued, standing in front of me with an anxious Lily on his arm. How long? How long has this been fucking going on? Lucas roared, bringing my attention back to him. I shook my head, unable to form words, overwhelmed by all their questions and accusations that were running wild in their heads. I was to blame here. I was the outsider. The enabler. Unbelievable. Are you a junkie too? Did you do this to him? Did you make him this way? He added. No. I swear I tried. I tried every day. I promise you that. I never wanted this. I never wanted to see him like this. I sincerely replied, my eyes filling with tears. Why didn't you tell us? We could have helped him. We're his fucking family. Jacob chimed in. He didn't want anyone to know. He was in recovery for 4 years. I didn't think he would relapse, and when he did, I didn't know. The day I found out, I left, okay? He was lying to me, too. I haven't spoken to him in 2.5 years. I swear, I didn't know it was this bad. They all jerked back, stunned by my revelation. He didn't tell you that we weren't together? He works all the time, Briggs. We knew you guys were having problems, and he told us you went back to New York for a while. But we figured you still spoke and were trying to work things out. You never answered or returned any of my calls. Austin never specified, and we just figured... Alex paused, frowning. Oh my God, how did I not know this? Austin is really good at making you believe what you want to see, I simply stated. You! Austin's dad yelled over everyone, pointing a finger at me. Did you do this to my son? Is he in there because of you? Why didn't you tell us? Who the hell do you think you are to hide something like this? We're his parents. We deserve to know what was going on. I know, we treated you like you were our own, like family. How dare you lie to us? He added with the same fierce tone. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I wallowed, my heart pounding out of my chest. I didn't know what to say to them, which only pissed me off further that Austin never told anyone. The shitstorm was falling all on me. Once again, his poor decisions were all my fault. Get out, his dad gritted through clenched teeth, aggressively pointing to the emergency room doors. Joseph, his mom coaxed, looking up at his face and then back at me with sympathy in her eyes. You don't belong here. You never did, he ordered, not paying his wife any mind. My son is fighting for his life because of you. Now leave before I have you escorted out, he heaved with anger. Me? How about you? For always treating Austin like he was never good enough. For being a piece of shit father and not wanting to accept your son for who he wanted to be. Everyone in this room, including myself, is partially responsible for him being in there. I honestly spoke, unable to control the truth. He grimaced. It was quick, but I saw it. I won't tell you again. Get the... That's enough. Dylan interrupted me, speaking up for the first time since they all arrived. All eyes were on him, including mine. Realizing quickly that this wasn't going to end in my favor, I shook my head, turning to leave, defeated. I knew, Dylan declared, making me stop dead in my tracks. I winced, knowing the truth he was about to share with everyone. I've always known. He's been struggling with addiction since the car accident. I shut my eyes, taking a deep breath, slowly letting the air escape from my lips. Briggs is right. She saved his life more times than any of you could ever possibly know. She deserves to be here more than any of us. I'm sorry, Briggs. I spoke out of anger on the phone. If it wasn't for you, we would be planning a funeral. I spun around to face them once again. Each one of them looked at me. Hatred was replaced with shame and remorse. I was so grateful for Dylan coming to my defense. He could have let them continue to rip me to shreds, but he stepped up, throwing himself under the bus. Aubrey kissed him, pulling him into her arms. No one spoke after that. No more questions, accusations, anger. We all took a seat awaiting the doctor. They all had someone with them, except me. My someone was lying in a hospital bed, possibly dying. Even though there was so much to say, it took a backseat. All we could do now was wait.
Chapter 39, Austin. I was in ICU for 24 hours before they transferred me to the detox unit, where I went through being medically withdrawn from the drugs. If there was anything to be thankful for, it would be for not dying and not having to experience the withdrawals awake. Since I OD'd and technically died for a split second, I had to have a sitter with me 24/7. It was hospital protocol to make sure I wasn't suicidal. I was mostly in and out of consciousness for the majority of my stay. They kept me sedated enough to where I barely felt any discomfort, just exhaustion. I dreamt about Briggs mostly, except she wasn't how I remembered her. My girl. She looked like the woman that now belonged to Esteban, smiling, laughing, loving him, as if I never existed. Even in my dreams I was still haunted, tormented by the truth of my reality. By the third day, they allowed my immediate family to visit with me. My parents were beyond disappointed and furious, but relieved that I was still alive. I immediately admitted that I needed help, that I couldn't do this on my own, realizing for the first time that I couldn't do it alone. I needed my family and my friends, the people that loved me, to help in my recovery. I didn't want to die again. That was never my intention in the first place. I just didn't want to feel pain anymore. Dying once was enough for me to come to terms with the fact that if I continued this lifestyle, I would end up being a part of a goddamn statistic with a sad fucking story. My parents set me up with the best rehab facility in North Carolina. My treatment plan was going to be intense, and I would be transferred into it in the next few days. It would become my new home for the next 6 months. My parents didn't ask many questions, but I knew it was only a matter of time before everything was laid out on the table. My demons were emerging from the darkness, coming into the light. Over the last 2 days, they allowed the boys and Alex to visit. They were on the same page as my parents. I think everyone was just fucking relieved that I was still here and had a second chance at life. I hadn't asked for Briggs. I knew now more than ever that she fucking hated me. My mom told me she was the one that found me, and she was the reason I was alive. She saved my life. Again. The last thing I remembered was seeing her with Esteban. The image would be forever ingrained in my mind, burned into my soul. My mistakes, my choices, my weaknesses cost me the love of my life. She unknowingly slipped through my grasps. That was the hardest pill for me to swallow. Seeing her move on was my rock bottom. She was now the one that got away. It was the last day of my hospital stay before I was discharged to the rehab facility. I would be lying if I said I wasn't scared of my future and everything I had in store for me. A life without Briggs. I shut my eyes, needing a moment of clarity, a few seconds to calm my plaguing thoughts. I love you, Daisy. I'll always love you, no matter what. She smiled. I know. I'm yours. I immediately opened my eyes, sensing her presence. There she was, standing by the open door, her dark brown hair flowing all around her face. She was a sight for sore eyes, wearing jeans with a sweater and her favorite tattered chucks. She looked so tired, like she hadn't slept in days. Once again, I was the reason for her discomfort and pain. Dark circles were prominent under her swollen eyes. She was still so fucking beautiful. Beautifully broken. Hey, she announced barely above a whisper. I smiled. I couldn't help it. Hey, I rasped. We both stared at each other, lost in our own thoughts. I looked over at my sitter with a pleading expression. I couldn't be left alone. They even had cameras set up in my room, watching my every move. The nurse was in there with all my visitors, overhearing every private conversation. I silently prayed she would grant my request this one time. She met my eyes and then peered back at Briggs.
"You're Briggs?" she stated, raising her eyebrows. "Yes."
"He owes you his life, young lady,"
she nodded toward me.
"In a way, I owe him my life, too. So I guess we're even,"
Briggs said out of nowhere, bringing my attention back to her.
"You have 20 minutes. I'm going to get some coffee, and I will be standing right outside that door. No funny business, okay?"
I held up 3 fingers. "Scout's honor." She left, closing the door behind her. Briggs didn't move from where she was standing against the wall. The craving to hold her was as powerful as the craving to use had been. Both were deadly for me.
"Your hair,"
I coaxed, nodding to her, breaking the silence between us. She smiled, grabbing the ends and looking down at them.
"Yeah,"
she simply stated, not elaborating any further. Awkward the space between us.
"You still have your tattoos, right?"
I chuckled. She nodded, never breaking eye contact, finally asking,
"So, how do you feel?"
Like she'd been waiting to ask since she found me in the warehouse. I shrugged.
"Like shit, which is better than I deserve. You're looking at me like I'm gonna break or something, Briggs."
She shook her head, looking down at the ground. I immediately regretted saying something.
"You weren't breathing, Austin. I couldn't feel your heart, your pulse. You died right in front of me."
She rubbed her forehead, deeply sighing as if she was reliving it all over again in her mind.
"Are you okay?"
I asked, pulling her away from her thoughts. She eyed me cautiously.
"I was, I think. I don't even know anymore."
She pushed off the wall and walked over to sit in the chair by the side of my bed.
"I left the hospital when they told us you were going to be okay. I had every intention of not coming back, but my mind has stayed with your unconscious body in the warehouse, Austin. I see you lying there on that filthy floor, unresponsive, every time I close my damn eyes. I haven't been able to sleep since that night. I keep thinking that if Dylan hadn't called me first, I wouldn't have answered your call. Or what if I hadn't been in Oak Island when I answered you? You would have died. My therapist..."
"Therapist?"
I frowned.
"I've been seeing her since I left you. She's been helping me understand everything. My childhood, my uncle, you, me, us. Fuck, my life, I guess. She told me that I was the one that ran away from you. I would never be able to move on until we had closure or some sense of peace. It was then that I realized I never changed my phone number, even after she told me I needed to. I knew in my heart that this was going to happen, subconsciously. I had been waiting for it."
She paused to let her words sink in, peering around the room for a few seconds, battling a visible internal struggle in her mind. She didn't have to tell me what she was about to say. I knew it from the moment I opened my eyes and saw her standing in front of me. I said it for her instead.
"You're here to say goodbye."
"Briggs, we locked eyes, seeing each other's truths for the first time in 2.5 years. "Yes," I nodded. "I can't run away from you again. It almost killed me as much as it did you the last time. I need to say my piece and walk away this time. I'm going to rehab tomorrow. For the next 6 months, I'll be there getting my shit together, getting my head out of my ass and back in the real world. I guess both of us have some healing to do," he stated, grabbing the cup of water on his bedside table and taking a drink. I didn't falter. "Why are you going to rehab?" He narrowed his eyes at me, confused. "Is it for your parents? Your friends? Me? At the end of the day, you need to go there for you, Austin. Your recovery, your sobriety. It needs to be something that you want, not what everyone else wants for you. If you don't want it, if your head isn't in the right place, All you're doing is wasting everyone's time, especially your own. See, I learned that was the biggest problem in our relationship. You always got better for me, for us, never for you. As much as I hoped and prayed that it would be enough, it wasn't. It never was. I can't want it for you. Your parents and friends can't want it for you. No one can. You have to want it for yourself. He took in every single word that came out of my mouth, listening intently. I could see it in his eyes. He knew I was right, and that gave me hope for him. I saw you. I lowered my eyebrows, cocking my head to the side, not understanding what he was talking about. With Esteban. I grimaced, jerking back, stunned. What? How? Do you love him, Daisy? He asked, not answering my questions. Staring deep into my eyes, willing me to answer him truthfully, now was as good a time as any to get out what I've been holding in for so long. I went back to New York after I left our home. I lived with my uncle in the same penthouse I hated growing up in. I stayed there for a little over a month, trying to stand on my own 2 feet, but still stumbling every time I stood. When I was ready to be on my own again, I moved into another condo he owned in Manhattan. I ran into Esteban at the park one afternoon, a little over a year and a half ago. It was nice to see a familiar face when I still felt so fucking lost. We went and grabbed some coffee together, and I ended up pouring my heart out to him. He sat there and listened to our sad story for 3 hours. I shook my head, remembering that day as if it happened yesterday. He was different, but still the same, if that makes any sense. We exchanged numbers and said our goodbyes. For the first time in my life, I had a friend that wasn't you. One night a year ago, we drank a little too much, and one thing led to another. He immediately shut his eyes, the hurt evident all around him, radiating deep into my core. I hated knowing that I was hurting him. I hated knowing that he was probably craving to use, but I needed to tell him this. He needed to know. As much as it killed me inside. I'm not saying this to hurt you. I swear the last thing I want is for you to leave here and go use, Austin. Do you love him, Briggs? He repeated with a hard edge to his tone. Does it really matter? He immediately opened his eyes with a pained look in his glare like I had never seen before. Is he the cause of your makeover? He accused, taking in my new appearance. You're not mine anymore. You're his. I bowed my head, not knowing how to reply. What was the right or wrong answer? I just shook my head, looking everywhere but at him. Did you hear any of my messages? Did you know how much I was hurting? How much I looked for you, like I did the first time you left me in Miami? I saw you every day, Daisy. You may not have been real, but I still saw my girl, my Daisy. It was the main reason I used so fucking much. I stayed high to be near you. Tears streamed down my face, the ones I had been trying so hard to keep at bay. When I saw you with Esteban, it literally almost killed me. I died standing there watching him touch my girl, kissing the lips I claimed as mine a long time ago. I'm not blaming you for my piss-poor decisions. I never meant for any of this to happen to us. I wanted to give you the world, Briggs. Everything you ever had. The house. The white picket fence. A million shitlins running around the yard. He chuckled, leaning forward to catch one of my tears. I love you more than anything in this world, baby. I lost sight of what was important. I fucked up, and I can't take that back. He paused, his voice breaking. I'm no good for you. At least not right now. I can't keep doing this to you. I love you too fucking much to not let you be happy. That's why I OD'd. You deserve to be happy with or without me. I have to let you go, even though it's the last thing I want to fucking do right now. I wiped away the tears from my face, feeling like he just ripped out my heart and stomped all over it. I couldn't fucking breathe. But none of that matters now. I have to let you go. Set you free. I love you. I'll always fucking love you, he added, making my heart explode. I nodded, unable to form words, but it didn't matter because there was nothing left to say. We said everything that mattered. I stood, turning to leave. He instantly grabbed my hand, pulling me into his arms. Before I even realized what was happening, I was sobbing against his chest, with his strong arms wrapped around me, feeling him cry, too. I'm sorry, baby. I know you hate those words, but I'm so fucking sorry for everything I put you through. I put us through. I ruined us when all you did was try to save us. Losing you will be my biggest regret in life. I love you so much, and I need you to please never, ever forget that. Please. He begged in a tone I had never heard from him before. I love you too, Austin, I bellowed as he held me tighter. I stayed there in his arms, both of us knowing this was our end. This was goodbye, I pulled away first, and he wiped away all my tears, kissing all along my face for the last time. I sucked in air that wasn't available for the taking, standing to leave, his arms falling to his sides, empty. I made my way toward the door, trying like hell not to look back at his broken expression. I didn't want to remember him like that. "Daisy," he called out as I walked out the door. I stopped, waiting on pins and needles for what he was going to say. Where did the name Briggs come from? I chuckled, grateful that he was trying to end this on a good note, for the both of us. I spun to face him. She's Twilight Sparkle. It was a doll with bright purple hair that my parents wouldn't buy for me. I was holding her at the grocery store the night they died. Her name was Briggs, I said for the first time. I had never told anyone where the name came from. It was the last time I was happy, so I took her name. He smiled, taking me in. Every last expression, every last movement, every last word. Wanting to remember me any way he could, I did the same, giving him one last beautiful smile. He caught it in the air and placed it near his heart, exactly how I knew he would. I turned back around and left.
Chapter 40, Austin.
Hi, my name is Austin Taylor, and I'm a drug addict, I announced, like I had done at every NA meeting I attended. Except this one was different. It's been 6 months since I took my last hit in a warehouse downtown where I OD'd. I actually died that night. I let out a nervous chuckle, rubbing the back of my neck. This is my last day in the facility, and I'm receiving my 6 month sobriety chip tonight. I paused while everyone around me applauded. I can't say this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. This time it's been different in every aspect. The first time, I was in recovery for 4 years, trying to find solid ground when everything was shaking around me. I got sober from my girl. I stayed sober for her. I went to therapy for her. I worked through my steps for her. I went to meetings and talked to my sponsor. I did everything for her, not me. I was a ticking time bomb during those 4 years, waiting to fucking explode, until one day I did, spiraling out of control. I peered around the room, gazing from the boys to Alex to my parents. Everyone who loved me was there, hearing my story for the first time, except the one person who mattered, the one person I wanted. In the end, I lost my girl. I hit rock bottom the day I figured that out. My therapist tells me that I've never been able to talk about my emotions, and that has been the cause of most of my problems. Here's the thing. I've always wanted to fit in with my family, with my friends, with the people that have always mattered the most to me, never realizing that I was slowly causing my own demise, tearing rifts between the people I loved. When you're young, you think that you know everything, and that was one of my biggest downfalls. I paused to let my words sink in. My mom smiled and winked at me, giving me the courage to keep going. I'm scared every morning when I wake up. I have feelings, emotions, and memories that I struggle with on a daily basis. I'd self-medicate to numb the pain, to not feel anything anymore. Look at it this way. I was a human garbage disposal, blaming my problems on everyone but myself. I'm not proud of the things I've done. I'm more ashamed than anyone could possibly ever know. I'm learning to forgive myself. I'm learning to love myself. And for the first time, I'm here, wanting to get better for me. I want it. I need it. I deserve it. Alex wiped a tear from her face, smiling at me. All I can do is take it one day at a time and ask for help. Thank you. I smiled, stepping off the podium. Everyone stood up and applauded as I made my way down the aisle toward my family and friends. My mom was the first to hug me.
I am so proud of you, baby.
My dad shook my hand. You did good, son.
Bro, that was some deep shit,
Dylan praised, patting my back.
You really did amazing, Austin. We're very proud of you,
Aubrey added, pulling me into a hug. Lucas, Jacob, and Lily were next. They all congratulated me and headed to the refreshment table, leaving Alex and I alone.
I pulled up a chair next to her,
flipping it around to sit on it backwards.
That was amazing. You're an inspiration, she stated, smiling.
I didn't sound like too much of a pussy, huh? I laughed, trying to get a rise out of her.
I always knew you were the strongest among the boys, Austin.
She nudged my shoulder. I don't know about all that, Half Pint. None of them are fucked up.
I do. To come back from everything you've been through and admit your defeat, that takes more courage than anyone could ever imagine.
You sound like my therapist. I should just hire you instead of paying out my ass for the one I have, I said, jokingly, making her laugh.
I have something for you.
She reached into her bag, pulling out what looked like a book.
I met Briggs for lunch a few days ago. She's doing great, Austin. She looks healthy and happy.
I nodded. That's good to hear, Alex. Thanks for telling me.
That's not all.
I cocked my head to the side, arching an eyebrow.
She told me everything.
Everything? I replied, caught off guard.
You protected her, Austin. From day one, she was all that ever mattered to you.
I rubbed the back of my neck. I guess she did tell you everything then. I'm going to tell them all eventually. My therapist and sponsor know already, but I'm not ready to remember all that yet.
I understand. You can tell everyone when you're good and ready to. I won't say a word, I promise.
Thank you, I said, feeling more at ease.
Did you know that she liked to write?
I took a deep breath in and slowly blew it out. I hadn't really talked about Briggs with anyone other than my therapist. She loves to read, Half Pint. I honestly think she's read every romance book out there. Twice. She loved living in the fantasies, experiencing what she never had. I knew she liked to journal and stuff. What's this about?
After you took over for her uncle, she started writing one day. As things progressed with you over the years, she started writing down memories and her feelings. She said it was her way to cope with what was happening to you. It helped her, Austin.
Why are you telling me this? Alex looked down at the book in her lap, handing it to me a few seconds later. It was a black hardback with the words, "Crave Me," written in silver lettering. I glanced back at Alex, still confused.
It's your story.
I jerked back.
What? You fucking with me?
I shook my head in disbelief.
She told me that after she'd left you, her therapist recommended for her to put all the entries together from over the years and add to it. It was a way to realize her growth and how far she's come. It started off like her therapist suggested, but it took a life of its own. She ended up writing your love story.
My eyes widened, shocked to the core from what she was telling me.
She thought reading it might help you heal, like it helped her. She wanted me to tell you that you don't have to read it, but she wanted you to have the very first manuscript. It's been picked up by a publisher, Austin. Briggs is an author.
My hands started shaking, knowing that I was holding Briggs's soul under my fingertips. Alex stood up and I followed suit.
She also wanted me to tell you that she was proud of you,
she relayed, pulling me into a tight hug. I kissed the top of her head, held up the book, and told her thank you, smiling at her as she walked away. I wanted to leave. I wanted to go lock myself in my new room and read Briggs's book from start to finish, anxiously waiting for when I would be alone to do just that. But my parents were walking toward me. They were taking me to dinner and then dropping me off at my new sober living facility. I told them I wanted to continue living in a controlled environment. I wasn't ready to be on my own yet. Not ready to step out into the world where temptation and triggers were all around me. I'd be staying there for another 6 to 8 months, more or less.
You did so great, honey. We're so proud of you.
Mom praised again, kissing my cheek.
You've come such a long way, but you still have a long road ahead of you. We will be by your side every step of the way.
I know, Mom. Thank you. And I did. I wasn't cured by any means. She lovingly nodded, excusing herself to go use the restroom. Your mother is right, Austin. We will always be here for you, Dad agreed, bringing my attention back to him.
I've made so many mistakes, son, more than I care to remember. I keep telling myself that if I would have let you go to art school, if I'd let you become the man you wanted to be, if I hadn't...
You can't do that, Pop. I'm the only one that's to blame for my choices. No one else. You did what you thought was best for me, like I imagine any parent would. I may have not seen it that way back then, but I know that now.
Briggs made me realize at the hospital how much of a shitty father I was. I'm sorry if I ever made you feel like you weren't good enough, Austin. You're my greatest accomplishment, he confessed, with tears in his eyes. I'd never seen my dad be anything but the solid man he always was. I wasn't surprised in the least that Briggs spoke her mind. She always did. It was one of the things I loved the most about her. I love you no matter what, son. If I could go back, I would change a lot of things. But you're right, I can't. I can only move forward, and I want nothing more than to build a relationship with the man standing in front of me.
I would really love that, Dad.
He pulled me into a hug, and I actually felt my father's sincerity and love. For the first time in I don't know how long, I felt like everything was going to be okay, that my life was going to get better, that I was going to get better, even though my future didn't include Briggs.
Briggs. Jesus Christ! I placed my hand over my chest when I walked into my house. Why can't you just fucking knock on the door like a normal fucking person? I yelled at my uncle, shutting the door behind me. You don't own this house. I do. So fucking knock on the door, I ordered, setting my groceries on the kitchen island. He just sat on the bar stool without a care in the world, not paying me any mind at all, holding his head up high in his, I'm Alejandro Martinez and I don't give a fuck kind of way. To what do I owe the honor of your unexpected appearance, uncle? You must know Esteban is out of town, or you wouldn't be here. Oh, I missed him? What a goddamn shame. By all means, give that motherfucker my regards. I rolled my eyes. It had been a year since Esteban and I moved in together. He hated the Carolinas and wanted to move back to New York. It was one of our biggest arguments. He was actually right there now, traveling on business. Can't an uncle just want to visit his favorite niece? Your only niece and an uncle, yes. You? No, I declared, peeking my head out of the fridge to look at him. He grinned, amused with my banter. I continued to put away the rest of my groceries. I hear your book is the talk of the town. You're all over the bookstores in New York City. Are you scared the FBI is going to knock on your door, uncle? Don't worry, I changed your name. I read it, Briggs. My eyes widened as I breathed out. You lie. Antonio never lies, he chuckled, using his name from my book. I was there the day you were born, Daisy. I was one of the first people to hold you. Your mom named you Daisy because it was her favorite flower, I interrupted. He smiled, peering around the room as if he was recalling something from his past. He was a dangerous, mysterious man. But he loved my mom. There was no doubt about that. Yes, it was her favorite flower, he repeated with sad eyes and a solemn expression. You look like her. That's the first thing I thought when I saw you in the damn hospital bed when you were 6. I couldn't believe how much you fucking look like her. You were a spitting image of her as a child, and are even more now as a woman. I took in every word he was saying, scared that if I interrupted him, he would stop talking about my mother, stop sharing memories that pained him for some reason, a reason beyond my understanding, and I knew he'd never tell me if I asked. Ask, he ordered, reading my mind. I looked him in the eyes and asked the one question that had always plagued me. Why did you take me in? I promised your mother that if anything ever happened to them, I would take care of you. I frowned. You were there when I was born, that I never remember seeing you around after. I never forgot any of your birthdays or holidays you received my gifts. I made sure of it. I opened my mouth to say something, but quickly shut it. She took you away from this life, Daisy. The life you hate so fucking much, only for me to bring you back in it. He stood and I immediately thought our conversation was over. I was beyond disappointed. I had so many questions that had gone unanswered. He walked over to the screen door, his hands placed firmly in the pockets of his slacks, peering out the window, like his life was flashing before his eyes. I raised you the only way I knew how, putting a roof over your head, making sure you were alive and fed. What about affection, uncle? What about love? Did you not think I needed that? Wouldn't any little girl need to be held? To be told that everything was going to be okay? That they were loved? He turned away from the window, narrowing his cold, soulless eyes at me. Mistakes are what run this world, Daisy. The past cannot be changed as much as we may want it to. I am no different. I have always been there for you. Despite what you think, I still am. Why did you read my book? I blurted, needing to know. I wanted confirmation, he simply stated, making his way back to the kitchen island. On what? I let you both go, didn't I? He ignored my question. I don't know what came over me. I slammed the cabinet door and made my way over to stand in front of him, looking deep into his eyes. I didn't falter. Do you love me, Uncle? I raised you, didn't I? I protect you. I'm here for you, no matter what. I shook my head no. That doesn't answer my question. Do you love me? Daisy, I'd kill for you. I'd take a bullet for you, and I can't say that about anyone else. My eyes widened, realizing that would be the best answer he would ever give me. If you could go back, would you still raise me the same way? Yes, he answered without any hesitation. I bowed my head, disappointed. He grabbed my chin, making me look at him again. This is the man that I am, Daisy. I won't make any excuses for that. What you see, he paused, is what you get. I made you strong and resilient. I gave you the tools to survive, and I showed you the reality of the world. I wouldn't change that for a goddamn thing. Tough love is the only way I know. I stood there in disbelief. He released my chin and took a seat on the barstool. As much as I'd love to keep going down memory lane, this visit isn't about me. That's not why I'm here. Have you talked to Austin? I jerked back. No? Have you? Wait, do you talk to him? What I do is not your concern, Peladita. You're not happy. I'm happy. Being content is not happiness, he simply stated. And you're the expert on what happiness is? I scoffed out. I'll take my chances. Don't confuse things. I live the life I fucking want. I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks about that. You live the life you think you need to be living. You always have. Aren't you tired of being someone you're not? He held up my brown hair, twirling it around his finger, taking in my appearance. You're scared to be alone, Briggs. Waiting for happiness to come to you. You want something, then go after it. And if you can't get it, you fucking fight for it. Why are you with Esteban? I remember very clearly asking if you loved him. I'm fucking certain you said no. Tell me, are you with him because he stole your goddamn virtue? He didn't steal it. I gave it to him. And here you are, still giving it to him. What about you? What can he give you? He snidely grinned. People make mistakes, Peladita. No one is perfect, and sometimes it takes someone to get lost to finally find their fucking way back. From what I hear, absence makes the heart grow fonder, Daisy, he said, walking to the front door. I'll make sure to tell Esteban you said hello. And I'll make sure not to accidentally shoot the motherfucker in the goddamn face. Then we can both pretend that we fucking love him. Without another word, he left me there with thoughts of a love I once had. Austin.
Chapter 41. Austin.
Half Pint, I'm not going to tell you again. Stop setting me up on these fucking dates. I don't want to date anyone. This may come as a shock to you, but I actually want to be single. I don't need a girl. I'm happy being by myself. She sighed. She was a nice girl, Austin. I wouldn't know. I spent the entire fucking time counting down the minutes before I could pay the bill and leave.
You're so frustrating.
Mind your own damn business.
I don't know how to do that, she gritted out, making me laugh. It's been almost 3 years, Austin. 3 years.
I can read a calendar, Alex. I'm fully fucking aware of how many years have gone by.
She rolled her eyes, placing her hands on her hips.
Maybe give Austin a break, Lucas said, coming to my defense, slapping her ass for good measure.
Half Pint, he's still getting fucking pussy, and he doesn't have to deal with the emotional bullshit. Man's on to something,
Dylan added, making Aubrey reach over and slap him on the back of the head.
Sugar, you have a wonder pussy, and I fucking love you.
You're so romantic,
Aubrey sarcastically stated, shaking her head.
It's a known fact that women are crazy. I'm only speaking the truth here.
Austin has always been a master of getting laid. I taught him everything he knows. Alex, leave the man be.
Alex threw her hands in the air, giving up.
Austin, make sure you make up for the lack of sex Dylan won't be getting until further notice.
Aubrey chastised, only looking at him.
Until further notice? You mean until tonight when I put my tongue up your puss?
Aubrey immediately placed her hand over his mouth. I laughed so hard that my head fell back. He was such a fucking asshole. But it felt good to laugh with all of them again.
Oh my God, Dylan!
She let go of his mouth.
I'm sorry, my husband has no filter.
It's part of my fucking charm and you fucking love it,
Dylan reminded, pulling her to him by the nook of the neck, kissing her lips. That was my cue to get up and man the food on the barbecue. We were all hanging out at Lucas and Alex's house, shooting the shit like old times, grilling out with all the boys and their wives. I had become the seventh wheel, which was what gave Half Pint so much initiative to try and find me a girl. It didn't matter how many times I told her I didn't want one. She was a persistent little shit. I already had my girl. My soulmate. I hadn't been with anyone since. I'd fucked enough girls to last me a lifetime. None of them would have been Briggs, so it didn't matter anymore. It had been almost 3 years since I last saw Briggs. Almost 3 years since I OD'd. Almost 3 years since my life started over, and I was in recovery. I was given the greatest gift. Life. My second chance. I lived at the sober living facility for over a year, attending an NA meeting at least 2 to 3 times a day while I stayed there. My sponsor and therapist became my new fucking best friends. I was fortunate enough that I didn't have to work, and I could concentrate solely on my recovery. I was working through my 12 steps of sobriety, currently on step number 9. Making amends with everyone I had hurt during my addiction. Of course, Briggs was the first person on that list. My therapist scheduled sessions with everyone that I had hurt. My parents, the boys, and Alex. I told them everything. They knew every lie, every memory, and every single truth, including the shame and remorse I felt about all the things I'd done, especially being a drug dealer. It was like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. For the first time in forever, my demons were dormant. But that didn't mean they weren't still there. They would always be a part of me. I was still an addict. I was just an addict in recovery. I still went to my therapist regularly and met with my sponsor a few times a week and attended daily meetings, finally admitting defeat. I couldn't do this by myself, and as hard as it was for me to ask for help, it was getting a little easier every time I did, which was often. The boys and my parents, especially my father, took responsibility for their part in my addiction. My dad actually broke down and had a few times since. Our relationship wasn't fixed by any means, but it was getting better. Same with all the boys. They were my fucking brothers. They always would be. We were family no matter what life threw at us. When I was ready to be discharged from the sober living facility, I started looking around for a house to move into. I ended up buying the home that belonged to the dock that held so many memories from my past, the good and the bad. My therapist didn't agree with the choice I made, saying that it could present itself as a trigger for me to relapse. When I did my final walkthrough before signing the papers, I quickly realized that I didn't belong anywhere else but there. I was finally happy to be home. I couldn't live anywhere else. It had been almost a year and a half since I'd moved in there. Lucas's company remodeled the 6-bedroom, 4-bathroom house. I added a pool to the huge backyard. My realtor said I was buying it for the family I wanted, and maybe in a way I was. I had people over often. It was rare for me to be alone anymore. I preferred it that way. I spent way too many years being alone. I opened my tattoo shop back up and had more clients than I knew what to do with. The place was booming, and I was scheduled out a few months in advance. I even started sketching again. I had yet to read Briggs's book, Our Love Story. As much as I wanted to, I couldn't bring myself to turn the pages.
It sat on my nightstand next to my N.A. book. I would stare at it for hours, but at the end of the day, I always chose to read the N.A. book instead. Every time I had that book memorized, and I still managed to learn something new every time I reread it. "I'm going to head out, guys," I announced, standing up after finishing my plate.
"Come by the restaurant tomorrow," Lily said. "Jacob is working late, and you can have dinner with me and the kids. Riley wants to show her Uncle Austin how she can write her name now."
I nodded. "Can't wait," I said, giving her a wink. We said our usual goodbyes and I left.
"Austin,"
Alex called out, making me look up from my car door. I closed the door, rounding the corner of the hood as she came running towards me. "Did I forget something?" I asked, patting my jeans.
"No, I wanted to give you something."
She handed me a white envelope.
"What's this?"
I looked at her.
"It's from Lucas's mom, Savannah."
I peered up.
"What? How?"
Jerking back, stunned.
"She gave it to me a few days before she passed away. She said I couldn't give it to you until you were ready, until you were in a good place again. I didn't understand what she meant by that at the time. I held on to it all these years, hoping that one day it would make sense. To be completely honest, over the last few years, I'd forgotten about it. When you were in rehab, I found it in my old art notebook my mom kept. I was looking for my book to come draw with you. I thought you could use some good memories right about then. I was going to give it to you the day you received your 6-month chip, but Briggs gave me her book. I realized it wasn't the right time yet."
"Why now?"
"You're happy, Austin. I don't remember the last time I saw you this happy. You're in a good place, and I firmly believe in my heart that you're going to stay there. I'm not saying it's ever going to get easy for you, but I can see it in your eyes. You're Austin again. My good old boy is back."
I brought her in for a big hug. Even though she was a pain in my ass, she always knew the right things to say. I took a deep breath, appreciating everything she had just said.
"I talk to Briggs sometimes. She's doing great, Austin. She's touring around the world with her books, attending signings everywhere. She's really taken off. She's happy."
"Thanks for telling me that, Half Pint. It's always good to hear. As long as she's happy, that's all that matters to me. All I ever wanted was for her to be happy. I just wish it could have been with me."
"Life is very unpredictable, as you well know. I ended up with Lucas. Aubrey's with Dylan. Even Lily ended up with Jacob, and I didn't think that would ever happen. So, crazier things have happened in our lives."
I nodded.
"I love you, Austin, and I'm so proud of you."
I kissed her forehead, giving her a loving smile, and she left. I drove home listening to Mad World, thinking about everything I'd been through in life. I pulled into my driveway, got out, and headed straight for the dock. I slipped my shoes off and sat with my feet in the water, like I had countless times before. I lit a cigarette, letting the nicotine work its way into my lungs, and opened the letter that I couldn't stop thinking about the entire drive home. Bringing the cigarette to the corner of my lips, I started reading.
"Austin, my rebel boy. From the second you could crawl, you never looked back. You were the most independent boy I'd ever seen before. You were so quiet, we never knew if you were up to something, always needing to learn everything on your own. There was no holding you back. Your mom had to put a lock on your window because you would open it at night and climb up the banister to sit on the roof. You were 4. I remember the first time your mom caught you. She almost had a heart attack.
The next day, she had installed a state-of-the-art lock to keep you from hurting yourself. You saw her lock it 1 time, and you figured out how to unlock it to continue sneaking out. There was no telling you that you couldn't do something when you got your mind to it.
That's just the boy you were, so curious about the world and every last thing it had to offer. But you were the sweetest boy ever, the most loving of all the good old boys. You didn't care. You did your own thing, often ending up alone. I worried about you a lot. Your parents worked all the time, and it was hard for them to keep up with you because you were so damn quiet. We all assumed everything was okay, since we never saw otherwise. I caught you drawing on the dock a few times while I was looking for Lucas. You seemed so lost and alone, even at that young of an age. The car accident changed you, Austin. It sucked the life right out of you. The guilt and shame came tumbling down on you. You weren't the same boy. There were days I barely recognized you. It scared all of us. When you took off, I would be lying if I said I wasn't expecting it. You needed to leave. You needed to find yourself. Most importantly, you needed to forgive yourself. Love yourself in a way you probably never have before. I know you've been through more stuff than I could ever imagine. And one of my saddest regrets is that I'm not going to be there to help you find your way. But I know it wouldn't matter anyway, because you need to find it on your own. It's who you are. I knew one day it would happen. The demons that haunted you would be at bay, and you'd fight for your life again. If you're reading this, then I know that day has come. You're happy. And I'm smiling down at you, proud that you made it back home. I don't have to tell you to take care of each other, your brothers and your half-pint. There's nothing that could come in between a bond like that, ever. No matter what life throws at you, your family will always be there to catch you when you fall. I love you, Austin. I'm here if you ever need to talk. I always will be. Your second mom, Savannah.
I folded the letter and placed it back into the envelope, inhaling a puff of my cigarette, remembering how many times I'd sat on this dock, feeling as lost as she said I appeared. I smiled. Taking one last puff of my cigarette, I stubbed it out on the side of the dock. I stood, walking back inside, knowing that I wasn't lost anymore.
Chapter 42. Briggs. "You ready?" my assistant asked, grabbing the last few things off my table at the signing. "Yeah, give me a second," I replied, grabbing my bag from under the table. "Shit, it's stuck on something. You can go, Avery. I can catch a cab. Thanks so much for all your help today. I'll call you tomorrow." "Okay, everything is set with the bookstore. You're free to go." "Awesome, thanks again." She waved, turned, and left. I looked under the table, not seeing what my bag was actually stuck on. I crouched down and crawled under the cloth until I was fully underneath. "There, you stupid dick of a table leg," I grunted, pulling as hard as I could to no avail. "Damn it." I tried to scoot the leg over, but it was no use. The damn thing was too heavy. I pulled on my bag some more, cussing up a storm, getting pissed it wouldn't budge. All of a sudden, it lifted on its own, and I quickly pulled out the strap that was stuck. Finally. Then the leg was set back down, and I immediately heard something placed on top of the table above me. I shimmied backwards, trying to get the chair beneath my ass to sit back up. I ended up hitting my head in the process. "Shit! Ow!" I yelped, scooting some more to clear the edge of the table. "Motherfucker, that hurt." I rubbed the bump on my head, still peering down at my lap as I sat back on the chair. The object that was set on the table caught my eye. It was then that I remembered somebody helped me by lifting the table so I could get my bag out. I turned my head slightly. "Thank you, so..." I stopped breathing. Sitting on the table was the original hardback copy of Crave Me, my book. There was only one person that would have that copy. I didn't have to look up to know who was standing in front of me. My heart pounded out of my chest, and I swear it echoed in the corner of the room. How, after all these years, did he still have this effect on me? I took a few deep breaths, trying to steady my thoughts. I felt him place his hand on top of mine, soothing the bump on my head that suddenly seemed minuscule, compared to the emotions that were coursing through me. "You all right?" he said with the same southern drawl that I still dreamt about after all this time. He haunted my dreams almost every night. "I don't know," I blurted. He chuckled, moving my hand and leaning over the table. "Let me take a look." I shut my eyes, feeling the simple touch of his hands on my head, everywhere, all-consuming. He let his hands linger for what felt like forever, but I knew it was only seconds. I instantly missed his touch, his warmth when he backed away. "You're going to have a nasty bump. Best if you get some ice on that when you get home." I nodded, not being able to form words. I was as nervous as I was the first time I met him. For some reason, it felt like I was about to see him for the first time, and that confused the hell out of me. I knew everything about this man. I had seen him at his best, and at his worst. I took a deep breath, opening my eyes and locking gazes with him for the first time in over 3 years. He looked better than I remembered. He was definitely one of those men that got better with age. He was wearing a white tight shirt that emphasized every last muscle on his solid chest and firm arms, like he lived at the gym again. His tattoos only accenting his bad boy facade, I don't give a fuck kind of look that only Austin could ever pull off. "Hey, Daisy," he greeted, bringing me back to the present, taking me in as much as I was taking him in. His blue eyes that I hadn't seen in God knows how long were bright and shining, with a hint of mischievousness in them, gazing at my once again vibrant purple hair. With a predatory regard, he eyed me everywhere, as if he couldn't decide where he wanted to look at me the most. "You still take my goddamn breath away," he rasped, barely above a whisper. I blushed, peering back down at the book, breaking our heated connection. "I see you read it," I spoke, looking at the worn binding and pages. "I more than read it. I lived it." We locked eyes again. "Seeing it through your eyes, though," he paused, slightly shaking his head, "was like experiencing it for the first time," he admitted with so much sadness in his tone. My eyes began to fill with tears. "It was a long time ago, Austin. I'm not that person anymore, and from the looks of it, you're not either." "You'll always be my Daisy, my girl with the tattoos and purple hair," he said, reaching for a loose strand, twirling it around. I smiled. I couldn't help it. "You look good." "You look beautiful." I chuckled, smiling wider. He immediately caught my expression in the air and placed it near his heart, causing my stomach to flutter. "Why are you here, Austin?" "For you," he simply stated. I swallowed hard, trying like hell to govern my breathing. "I'd love for you to sign my book. In fact, it would mean the world to me." I smirked, grabbing a pen from my bag. He handed me the book, holding onto it for a second longer, grinning. I opened it up to the title page and signed, "Your best friend, Daisy." He laughed as I handed it back to him. "Can I buy you lunch?" I hesitated, and he noticed. "We're best friends, remember?" I scoffed out a laugh. "Only if I get to choose the place." "Baby, I'd follow you anywhere." "Still quite the charmer, I see." "Only with you." He grabbed the heavy bag off my shoulder. "Lead the way." I actually came with my assistant. I was going to take a cab home. I don't live far from here.
"You're in Oak Island," he stated, confused.
I nodded, not elaborating.
"Well, then, I guess I'll be driving Miss Daisy."
I laughed again. Damn, I missed him. I hadn't laughed or smiled this much in years. He always brought out the best in me. We drove in silence on the way to the restaurant up the road. Music played, just above a whisper. It was a small diner, but it was on the beach, and I loved going there with my computer to write. Something about the sound of the waves and the ocean breeze took me away to another place in time. I could sense that Austin wanted to reach over and grab my hand like he used to every time we were in the car together. His thumb tapped on the steering wheel instead, while a cigarette was placed in his other hand that was hanging out the window. His eyes remained on the road ahead, blowing out the smoke from his lungs through the corner of his mouth, the furthest away from me, making me smile from the memory of it all. Him. Before I knew it, we were being seated out on the beach patio of the restaurant. The sun was shining bright, highlighting the red in Austin's hair. "Thank you," I told the waitress after ordering my food. She nodded and left.
"How have you been?"
He was the first to break the silence. "Really good, Austin. The best I've been in a long time, actually." He sadly smiled, looking out toward the water. Not faltering, he stated,
"I'm glad Esteban makes you so happy, Briggs, even if it's at my expense. You deserve all the happiness in the world, to be treated the way you always deserved."
It broke my heart a little to hear him say that. I cleared my throat, bringing his sudden solemn expression back to me. "I'm not with Esteban." His eyebrows rose, taking in what I just shared. "I haven't been with him in almost a year and a half. We're still good friends. It was a mutual decision. It seemed like a good idea in theory. You know, trying something else. After Esteban and I ran into each other, I changed my hair back to its original color. I covered my tattoos with clothing I would have never worn before. A part of me wanted to try to be the girl I was before my parents died. The Daisy I thought I was supposed to be. I thought I was happy. And in a way I was. But being comfortable isn't being happy. I confused the two. He was good to me, and I knew him.
I was hurting, and he was the perfect distraction. As much as I hate to admit it, I didn't want to be alone. "Did you love him?" he asked, his stare not wavering from mine. "No, Austin. Don't get me wrong. I love him, but I was never in love with him. He knew it. It's probably why he traveled so much. It was easier that way. He will find the right girl one day. It's just not me. We sold the house after we broke up, and I started traveling all over for signings. I lived in and out of hotels for a good year, finding my independence for the first time in my life. It was good for me to find myself. I dyed my hair back and started dressing like I always had. This is who I am. This is the real Daisy. I bought a house in Oak Island a few months ago. It's my home. Your home has always felt like my home. I couldn't imagine living anywhere else." I couldn't believe I just shared all of that with him, but Austin always had a way of making me feel comfortable in my own skin. It was easy to pour my heart out to him. He always made me feel like it was okay to share my thoughts and emotions with him, like we had known each other for several lifetimes. Even then, after everything we had been through, it felt normal to tell him all that as if no time had passed between us at all. No sad stories. At least, not anymore.
Austin. I took in every word she said, trying to keep my emotions in check, when all I wanted to do was to reach across the fucking table and pull her into my arms, hold her for as long as I could, never letting her go. She was single. She was still mine.
"How about you? Hmm? You seeing anyone?"
she questioned, biting her lip like she did when she was nervous. I didn't hesitate. "I haven't been with anyone since you, baby." I told her the honest-to-God truth, needing her to know that there was no one else for me but her. I had every intention of reading our story when Alex gave it to me. It was the same day I received my 6-month sobriety chip. I tried to read it every day since then, but I wasn't ready to relive the past, when my future was finally full of possibilities. Up until 3 months ago, the book sat on my nightstand. When I finally decided to read it, I devoured the entire thing in one sitting, staying up all night until I'd finished it. After that day, I read it again, and again, and again. "You are so fucking talented." Her eyes showed more emotion than I had seen in a long time, her bright blue gaze intently focused on what I was saying. I leaned across the table, needing to feel close to her, reaching for her hands to hold them in mine. I recited from her book. "Have you ever met someone that you felt like you already knew with every fiber of your being? Knowing it was physically impossible, knowing it was the first time you had ever laid eyes on him, knowing that he was a complete and utter stranger, but feeling it in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul, that this person was a part of you, someone you possibly met in a previous life, someone who may have meant something to you." I locked eyes with the guy across the room, and a sense of deja vu hit me. I felt like I had seen him before. His presence was comforting and intriguing. Although in my head I knew he was a complete stranger, I felt a pull towards him, like he was a piece of a puzzle that was missing from my life. I knew something was brewing, something big, important, life-changing. The way he looked at me consumed me in ways I never thought possible. There was a predatory yet captivating glare in his eyes, as if I was the answer to every question he ever had. Her eyes widened in disbelief, tears pooling immediately. "I felt every single one of those things you described in our love story, Daisy. Every last one of them. And yes, the second I laid eyes on you, you answered every question I ever had." Tears fell from her eyes, and I squeezed her hand in comfort, wanting to hold her any way I could. I reached across the table, rubbing her tear-stained cheeks with my thumb. "I need to make amends with you. I can't pass my 9th step in my recovery until I do. I know I've said this to you hundreds, thousands, possibly millions of times, but from the bottom of my fucking heart and soul, baby, I am so sorry. I needed to forgive myself from the guilt of everything I did to you, to my family, my friends, the car accident, before I could love myself, before I could feel whole again.
I'm not asking for you to forget. I'm begging you to forgive. She sniffed.
I forgave you a long time ago, Austin. I forgave you the moment I left your hospital room.
I know it's going to take time for you to trust me again. Fuck. It's taken almost 3 years for me to trust myself again. But I need you in my life.
Austin, I'm
not saying we go back to being what we were. I don't want to go back to the past. I want to move forward in the future with you. I want to be your best friend, Daisy. I miss your friendship more than anything in this world. Your love, your kindness, your smile, your laugh, us. I miss hearing your voice.
Even your snoring, I chuckled. I don't snore. I have allergies.
She giggled, sniffling again. And it was still the sweetest sound I'd ever heard.
Your allergies, then. I miss those, too.
I miss you.
If we could be friends again, start from the beginning with a clean slate. If we could start in a new place, find our way back to what we're supposed to be to each other. I know in my heart, as well as in my mind, body, and soul, that you're meant to be in my life one way or another. And you know that, too. You wouldn't have written it if you didn't.
She took a deep breath. I wasn't surprised in the least that she was hesitating. I couldn't blame her after everything I'd put her through. The emotional roller coaster ride that was never-ending, all-consuming, held her hostage for years and years.
Let's eat lunch, and then I'd like to show you something. Can we do that?
She nodded, pulling her hands away. We ate in comfortable silence, both of us lost in our thoughts, our plaguing emotions swirling all around us. I paid the bill, and we walked out to my car. Once again, driving in silence, I found myself reaching over the center console for her hand, kissing it before placing it in my lap. To my surprise, she let me. I couldn't fucking help myself. I needed to feel her. I couldn't fucking help myself. I needed to feel her. As soon as I drove into my neighborhood, she knew where I was going. From the corner of my eyes, I caught her trying to hide a grin when she looked out the window. Parking my car in the garage, we made our way into my house. The house I purchased with a family in mind. The same one I wanted with her. Only her. She slowly stepped inside through the garage door, immediately taking in all her surroundings from the kitchen to the dining room. Walking straight to the sliding glass door to gaze out at the dock she loved so much. Knowing she had already left a piece of her soul on the wooden planks. I watched her move to the living room, her fingers lightly skimming my furniture, admiring the pictures on the walls and the shelves. "This isn't what I wanted to show you," I stated, grabbing her hand. I led her to the guest house I had built specially for her after I read her book. She peered around the spacious, open room that I'd made into her office. It was a private writing space with huge bay windows that overlooked our dock and the water. She took in every last picture of all our happy memories throughout the years that were scattered all over the walls. She walked over to the reading chair in the corner and picked up her memory blanket that I had given to her for her birthday a long time ago. She left it behind. I had it with me always. She brought it to her cheek, snuggling into it as her eyes began to water. Placing it back on the chair, she continued over to the bookshelf that held all of her books that she'd left behind. I pulled every last one of them out of storage.
I made Lucas's company build the room for you after I read your book. I wanted you to have a happy place in my home, I informed, gazing at her as she continued to explore the room with her hand over her heart. She stopped dead in her tracks when she saw what I really wanted her to see.
I came up behind her, close enough to where she could feel my warmth, my love, and devotion for her.
See, baby, you've always been with me, even when you weren't,
I murmured into her ear as she stared at the Twilight Sparkle Briggs doll sitting on the shelf with a picture of us beside it. Her hand went over her mouth as fresh tears erupted.
I bought her on my way to rehab. I never needed you more than I did back then. I prayed she could make me as happy as it made you the last time you were holding her, hoping that maybe one day you could hold her again, knowing that this time she was yours,
and you were going to be happy forever with me. I turned her to face me, and there were tears streaming down her beautiful face. I resisted the urge to kiss them all away and wipe them away instead. She looked deep into my eyes, searching for something I hoped.